Good evening, Naysers. I hope you're all well. Unfortunately, we're not very well this end, and I doubt we'll get to see you this weekend. And we do ask for your prayers as we continue to pray for you. This evening, I just want to share something with you that struck me over this period of the lockdown in particular. I was watching something on the TV the other night, and it just struck me how alien the attitudes and the responses of the people that were portrayed there were to the way that I think, the way that I act and the way that I choose to live. And when I talked about this with Alan afterwards, he said that it was I that was out of kilter and not the TV programmers, and that much of society is as it was portrayed, that people are selfish, they are immoral, they are cruel and unforgiving and bitter towards one another. And this started me thinking, and I realised that the attitudes and the behaviours that we seek to emulate as disciples of Jesus Christ are far from the norms of our society today. You'll have to bear with me, I'm afraid I'm a bit short of breath. But it's often said that we live in a post-truth age, but I think it's more than truth that our society has rejected. We see little of righteousness, integrity, honesty, faithfulness, self-denial and self-sacrifices. These all seem to be alien concepts to so many. So are we the fools? Are we misled? Are we dinosaurs from a bygone age? Are we stupid or misguided or just plain naive? You know, we live here in a lovely small village community, and I see many who work selflessly for the good of others, many who give liberally to the various local charitable needs, many people who you would call good people or nice people. So my experience of the norms of society at large are somewhat limited, I must admit. And whilst I do not wish to unfairly judge what I do not know, I am so concerned of the influence the society in which our young people are growing up in, and particularly my children and grandchildren, are experiencing as norms of today. Selfish and immoral and cruel behaviours have always existed, but it was always acknowledged to be wrong by the vast majority and kept, even if somewhat very poorly, hidden for the fear of public disgrace and shame. But so sad today to say that the leaders of our country, including members of the royal family, our government, and especially shameful to say, our religious leaders and communities, have all failed to live and to expound the values that we hold in such esteem. And so often they brazenly flaunt their lies, their self-gratifying behaviours, as if they were acceptable and normal. Does this mean we should rethink our stance? Does this mean we should reflect the standards of the society that surrounds us? Does it mean that our lifestyles are irrelevant? Well, I think not. And that, in a nutshell, is what I want to share with you this evening. If you have your Bibles, can you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3? And I'm going to read through to chapter 4, verse 5. So just bear with me. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Those first five verses there of Timothy 2 Timothy 3. They're just a brilliant description of the society in which we find ourselves. But let's read on. Verse 6. And from this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Paul is writing here to Timothy, a young man of God, and he's telling him Timothy has worked with him and lived alongside Paul for some time. And so he knows all that Paul has taught, all that Paul has suffered, and all that the way that Paul has lived. Verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned, been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Listen carefully there what Paul says in those three verses, verses 14, 16 and 17. He says, but you must continue in the things you have learned. We've been taught so much. We have been shown so much. We have seen godly men and women's example gone before us. You've been assured and known from whom you have learned them. You've seen that example. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. God wants to complete the work he's begun in each and every one of us and thoroughly equipped for every good work. God wants us to be able to live in the way that he desires and is designed. But let's read on. Chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. You and I are disciples of Jesus Christ. We're not called to reflect our society's values, but to reflect the values of the kingdom of God in our lives, in our actions, in our behaviours. We are called to be lights in this dark world. We are called to live according to the truth. We are called to be holy and righteous. We are called to repentance from dead works and from sin. We are called into life and a life more abundantly. You and I should be different from those around us. We should be loving. We should be forgiving. We should be caring. We should be gentle. We should be kind. We should be thoughtful. We should be honest. We should be trustworthy, and we should be faithful. The fruit in our lives should reflect the fact that you and I are servants of the living God, to whom we will give account and from whom we will be rewarded. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. So familiar to so many people that they read it so glibly and don't consider the words. Think carefully about what we're reading and hearing here. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I have told you beforehand, just as I have told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We should not be ashamed to be different, but we should wear our difference as a badge of pride, knowing to whom we belong. We are in this world, but we should not be of this world. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, excuse me, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So on a personal level, we all have the freedom of choice. We can choose to obey or disobey the word of God and to face the inevitable consequences of that choice. But what as a society? Many people in this world reject and dismiss God's standards. So should we have the as a society, have any behaviours or actions that we deem as unacceptable? And if so, which and why? They're fair questions to consider. We've seen much throughout this pandemic of people demonstrating and crying for their against the infringement of their rights and their freedoms. But if we wish to have individual freedom, are we right to put that against social responsibility? It's a big question. Individual freedom versus social responsibility. You can choose not to have an injection, that's your right. You can choose to trust that you're not going to get sick and that. But have you got a right then to make that so that You don't have to wear a face mask and you can infect other people. Where does social responsibility and personal freedoms coalesce? How should we prevent and stop or punish those who would transgress what we think is right? There's all these questions have come forth recently in society. And some people would say that we should say no to lawmakers and judges. They feel everyone should be free to do as they think is fit, as they want to act and as they wish. Well, that's all very well until someone steals everything you've worked for, beats you up, rapes your child or enslaves you. What happens then? Is survival of the fittest really the best basis for a functioning society? Do we let individuals take retaliation and revenge into their own hands? I think most people believe a society must have some rules to function together cohesively, that we all do have some social responsibilities as well as personal freedoms. But if we reject God's standards and God's criteria of what is acceptable and unacceptable behaviour, then where do we draw the line? Some people think and feel that fornication, homosexuality, abortion, gambling, lying, adultery, stealing, fraud and other such things are quite understandable and acceptable. But they think maybe you should draw the line at murder or child abuse or slavery, things like that. Things they're not involved in. But it's very arbitrary, and what one person feels is okay can vary very differently from what another person thinks. Nations around the world do the same thing. They have differing laws in different countries, and what they find are as acceptable and unacceptable. But not only that, these change over time, so there's no fixed criteria. So is that fair? Is that right? Is it because you live in the wrong time that what you all want to do and your choices you want to make are unacceptable? You know, is it because you live in the wrong country and you happen to have been born into a Muslim country, therefore as a woman you cannot go out without a male escort, you cannot maybe get an education or drive a car? Is that fair? Is that right? Some people think society should allow personal freedom of choice unless it harms or involves abuse of others. Well, that sounds fair enough on the first hearing, but where do you place the line of harming and abusing others? Is it physical, or can it be emotional and mental damage that people do to you? Prejudice is a word and an action that can be so harmful, so hurtful. And so is true of malice and slander. Most people want laws and some form of accountability. And even many unbelievers would agree that the basic Christian values are a good and that they're willing to accept a law framed on these tenets. And that's what you see in the westernized cultures of around the world. People want to feel protected from the abuse of others, but they also want to have the freedom to do that which they themselves feel is acceptable. But what we want, what we like, and what we think are not always right or good for us. I love chocolate and I love cake, but if I ate those every day, I would soon pile on the pounds. And I'd make myself grossly overweight and possibly very ill. And many think God is wrong or unjust in punishing what he declares to be sin, because they think it's all right to behave as they do. The paedophile would use the same argument. The age of consent is arbitrary. It's different in different countries around the world. It's been different in different times in history. It's changed over the generations. What we used to think is acceptable and what they think now is acceptable, it changes with the society. To have sex with what we would call children, to many, is fine. They don't see any wrong in it. And they want God to ignore and disregard that as a problem. They don't see it requires to be stopped or to be punished. This dual standard of society leaves us all in a muddled quandary at the best. God is a righteous and a just judge. Our hope lies in him and him alone. He alone knows the secrets of every man's heart. He alone understands what each and every individual has been through to make them act and behave as they do. He understands everyone's chemical makeup and the driving forces of hormones that have a huge effect on some people. Most of us would have compassion on a mother who stole to feed her starving child. And we would be more lenient to the person who murdered another after years of torment and abuse. God sets the standard, and God judges the heart, and God decrees the punishment. God knows better than we do. God is more compassionate than we are. And he is more just than any of us could ever be. So I think we should stick with God. We should stick with the standards that he has set and trust him to do that which is right. We cannot and we should not force others to believe or live by the standards that we aspire to and that we accept. You can't make somebody do that which is right. A man convinced against his will be of the same opinion still. We cannot impose our own personal criteria on others, be they believers or unbelievers. We cannot expect Christian behaviour from non-Christians. God alone is the law giver, and God alone is the judge. Each of us will give account to him individually. Each will bear their own punishment and each will receive their own rewards. So how should we behave in our society? Well, you and I must strive to be all that God calls us to be and to seek his mercy, forgiveness and redemption for all our failures. You and I must treat others with the same love, the same mercy and compassion and forgiveness that we have ourselves received from God. We should be good examples and lights in this dark world. We should overcome our own prejudices, our own judgmental attitudes, and share the reality of God's love, mercy and grace with everyone. So here we come back to that scripture, don't we, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. What an awful thing. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Thank God that he is the God of mercy and grace. Thank God that he is the same yesterday, today and forever. Thank God we don't have to make the decisions and the choices. We can leave a lot of it to God and just trust in his word and stand upon his word. Psalm 130 verse 4 says, "But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared." That's the dual-edged sword of the kingdom of God. There's forgiveness, so we should fear God and seek his forgiveness while we can. The message that we have to share should never be one of condemnation and guilt, but it should be the message of hope and redemption. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But God is able to save any and all who will call upon him in repentance and faith. We all need to reach out in love to those around us and share with them the goodness and the grace and the love and the mercy of our God. I want to particularly challenge the young members amongst us to share their faith, to reach their generation with the good news of Jesus Christ. Youngsters think oldies like me know nothing of the world or the society in which we live and function. And as I've said, in some ways there's some truth in that. But God understands and knows all. And his love and his power are still relevant and still effectual, even in their lives today. I just want to add in here that I was so blessed to hear and see Simone's podcast, sharing her faith with her generation in a way that's accessible and relevant to them. It's a wonderful thing. God bless you, Simone, as you seek to do his will. Us oldies should pray and encourage these younger generation to continue and to persevere in such endeavours, that the hope and the truth of God's word will go forth and bring others to know the love of God. Society is changing and it's ever changing, but God is the same, and we need to serve God as his word tells us we should. We shouldn't turn aside to fables. We shouldn't turn aside to itching ears and what easy talk of men and religious leaders. We need to stand on the word of God. We need to be steadfast in our faith. We need to be disciples of Jesus Christ and walk in his footsteps and do that which is pleasing in his sight. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your Son and for your word. And we ask, Lord, that you direct our steps aright, that our lives might glorify you, and that we might share your truth with all we encounter, by the way we live, by the words we speak, and by the things we do. Help us, Lord, to be lights in this dark world to the honour and the glory of your name, and for the expansion of your kingdom, we pray. Amen. God bless you all.